You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You may take your seats, and man, were those photos hilarious or what? Like, I feel like I've only been living here for a day, but those photos felt like they were 30 years ago, right? Like, I was looking at those. Someone sent some of those photos to my wife this week, and she was like, man, I married a teenager. We got those. Let's put them back up there. Where are they? There they are. Those three photos. That dude is a kid. But joke's on you, like, why did you even come and listen to a teenager preaching every week? Like, come on. Must just show our heart that believes that God can use you whether you're 10 or 100, right? And thankfully in the middle there as well. My bum chin is actually why I have a beard, and so you'll never see that face ever again, just so you know. Not unless someone holds me down. And our foyer, that's what it looked like in our foyer when 6 years ago when we first moved into this building. This photo was probably taken a few months later, but that's what our foyer looked like. And we were like, you know what will really get people to come to our church? If we paint a brown square on the wall. So we did. At least 100 people got saved because we painted that brown square on the wall. It was glorious, and at least the staircase wasn't pink anymore. You know, when we first moved into this building, we leased it first for the first nearly 4.5 years, and the staircases were pink. And ladies, you know the bathrooms were pink too, right? Oh my goodness, there's a lot of pink, but it's come a long way. That's what our stage looked like over there. See, we had that was the first stage, and then we added on to that to make it bigger and less weird, and over there, and then we did this, but that's what it looked like first, and it had that, the old Pentecostal step out was on the stage, and you know, the Holy Ghost ain't coming to church unless you got a Pentecostal step out. At least in the 80s, but God changed his mind in the 90s. This building didn't figure that out until not even the 2000s, not until the 2010s. And so we got rid of the step out, and Holy Ghost still comes. Fascinating, isn't it, right? That you don't have to have a building designed a certain way or look a certain way for God to meet with his people. Isn't that the truth? Amen. And we got some pictures of the renovation now. And those poles, my favorite thing about this whole renovation is not the new stage. Well, I shouldn't say that. It is that there's more people can fit now. That's definitely it. But number two on the list is we don't have those bloody columns anymore. Like, my goodness. You know, if you, who was here when we had columns? Yeah, good, good. And some people weren't, and that a lot of people weren't because the church has grown a lot in the last few months, which is awesome. But those columns, when you drove into our church, it looked like you were driving into a coliseum ready to watch gladiators fight to the death. And it was weird. That only happened once here. And so we don't know why there were columns out there. And my favorite thing was getting rid of them. And so I pulled them down. They were made of solid concrete reinforced with whatever the heaviest metal on earth is. And I picked them up and threw them away. They were made of foam and some stuff on the outside, but we got rid of those. And then 1 week we had, the stage was in that corner, as you saw in that picture, it was over here. Some people walk in now and like, I can't even picture it. And it's like, because that's called bad designing. And so the stage was over in that corner. And then in 1 week, we're like, we can pull that out and the next week still have a stage over here. Well, like, we can make that happen. So we did. And then the very next week, we worshipped on a stage that looked like that, with half a wall painted, and then we hang some cloth across the front, and we actually hired scissor lifts so much, we found out we needed to buy one because it was going to be cheaper than hiring it for 6 months. So we have a scissor lift, so if you see me out in the parking lot drag racing people in a scissor lift, whatever. What are you going to do if you have a scissor lift in your office, right? And then over here, that is where the men's bathroom was, and now it's a part of our foyer entrance, and that's just proof that God can take the waste and turn it into a welcoming place, and you don't think too much about what used to happen in the entrance to our church. Don't do that anymore. You'll get arrested, but But God's been good. Isn't it been good? Isn't it been exciting? Just come so far. God's done so much. But who knows God ain't done? Come on. God ain't done. God ain't done. Amen. And looking back, that's fantastic. But we want to honor some people who did a lot of work for our church. Honor is a biblical thing to do. You want to honor what you want to replicate, right? If you want people to keep serving and keep loving and keep giving, you want to honor people who do good things. And it's not just about replicating, though. It's also about the heart of God is to honor people. God loves to honor people, and God encourages us to honor people and give double honor in certain places. And so we want to be all about what God's all about. And so this renovation was run and managed entirely by volunteers, Mick Cox and his son, who adamantly wishes not to be named, and so he shall be called his son from now on. They pulled this off for half the quoted price. Half the quoted price, and quicker than all the quotes said it could be done. And because we believe in honor, a tremendous amount of people helped get this done. People cleaned up, packed up, set up, so that we could have church every single week. You know, when the builders were quoting us, they were like, so where are you going to meet while this is done? And we're like, here. Like, where else would we go? This is where God's called us. This is where we're going to have church. And they were like, not sure if that can be done. Well, you know what? If you get volunteers, it can be done. And so they cleaned up, packed up, set up. There were times at 5 o'clock on a Saturday when we're about to have church, you walk in here and you're like, yeah, it ain't going to happen. But it did. Every single time. And there were people doing demolition. There's nothing funner than taking a sledgehammer to a bunch of urinals in an old men's room. That was good fun. And contractors that gave us unbelievable deals, like air conditioning systems that were supposed to cost $47,000 that were done for $3,000. Like, we were blessed time and time and time again. Cleaners, helpers, carriers, food bringers, Uber Eats, come on now. Professionals in the church who helped out with advice and knowledge that we didn't have. And so I want us to give them, all of them, especially Mick Cox and his unnamed son, Josh, I can't say it because I said I wouldn't. Let's give them a great cheer and a wonderful thank you for helping make our home a more welcoming and inviting place for our church family. If you're standing next to the son that's unnamed, point to him, clap in front of him, and look at him. The Bible says that good will come to those who are generous. And they've been generous with their time, with their finances, with their lives and their efforts, and good's going to come to them. But we believe that. It's something we take very seriously at Eternity Church. In everything we do, we would rather err on the side of generosity than the side of stinginess, right? We're not going to be stingy. We don't hire staff and go, yo, what's the lowest you'll come for? Like, what? Like, who does that? We are going to err on the side of generosity time and time and time and time again. In fact, it is my heart, and it will happen, that we will be known as the most generous church that you have ever heard of. That is my heart, and it will happen, and we are on our way. That's why when we buy an espresso machine, which was quite expensive, but by the way, we got that half price as well because a great person in our church, brand new espresso machine, that's why when we get it, we're not like, well, now we better sell coffees to pay for it. No, we're like, no, we paid for it so we can give away more coffees to more people and bless more souls every single week. That's why we give away coffees and journals and t-shirts and Bibles and lunches and dinners. That's why we're generous as well in hope, in love, in joy, in forgiveness, in accepting people as they are, as they walk in the doors. You don't have to agree with people to welcome them into your home. You know that? Did you know no one has ever been to my house that I've agreed on everything with them ever? I don't even live with a woman who agrees on me, on everything with me. Come on now. You don't have to agree to love, embrace, accept every single soul. Amen. So anyway, we're going to do this big event in November called Big November. Big November. And it's going to be big. I'm Australian and we just cut straight to the point, you know. Big November's gonna be big, right? And it's gonna be all about generosity. What we plan to do is do Big November every single year in Des Moines and Central Iowa. And so that after a couple of years, the whole community, everyone in Central Iowa is asking themselves, what are they gonna do in Big November this year? That church is so generous. That church is wildly extravagant. It is my heart that we aren't generous enough till people accuse us of being too extravagant. Think about that. That's the truth, amen. So we're going to do Big November for the whole month. You'll hear about that leading up to it. I want to tell you, there's not a single week of that you'll want to miss. Make sure you get here. But in the spirit of generosity, we want to bless Mick and Ginger and his son, and his girlfriend Jackie and their kids. And so we are going to send them on an all expenses paid trip to Disneyland. So thank you, Mick, son, family. Thank you, Eternity Church, for being generous and not being stingy, but helping us be known as the most generous church that anyone has ever heard of, because we serve the most generous God that he could possibly be. Amen. So that's what's happened. That's what's happened with the reno, or the renovation. You know what? We're seeing this year 10 to 20 souls get saved every single week. Every single week. 10 to 20 souls getting saved every week at Eternity Church. We just keep growing. You know, we've had weeks this year we've been over 1,000 people, like 4 or 5 times this year. It's been incredible. That's bums in seats, not people who sometimes come. And so that's been incredible. We've had twice 40 people get saved in the weekend. Once we've had 80-something people get saved in a weekend. God is growing his church. Because everybody needs to know that they are created on purpose. They have purpose. They're welcome to worship with us. There is no condemnation in God's house. There is no shame in God's house. There is no pain in God's house. There is only power, purpose, and God's purifying presence making all things new. That's his job, to make all things new. So we're thankful. Aren't we? Anyone grateful in here? But we'll never get stuck in the past. No matter how good it was, we're not going to get stuck in the past. God is doing a new thing. Have you noticed people aren't bringing chauffeurs and flags and running around church waving flags anymore like they did in the 80s? God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. I like what he's doing. No matter how good the past is, God is never done moving people forward, onward, and upward in Jesus' name. There's people in this room that are like, did they used to do that in this church? No, we never did. But in the 80s, apparently it was cool. Wasn't it, Josh? It was cool back then. But we're moving onward, forward, upward. Someone say hallelujah. Now, Paul wrote to the Philippians, not that I have obtained already. And I love that he started this passage with this. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. What he's saying is that I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Hey, that's us. We're not there yet. God ain't done. We're alive still. God ain't done. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or that I've already arrived at my goal. I press on to take hold for that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it all. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal for which Christ has called me. You know what's really interesting about this scripture here is God is always moving us forward. But sometimes as a church, it's possible to get stuck in the past and stop pressing on. God is always moving forward. God is always pressing on. But here it says, Paul says, I press on. I will continue to press on. Amen. Because God ain't done. Now we have grown in the last 6 years, we have grown by 2,850%. And that's a big number. But we're nowhere near done seeing Central Iowa saved. Nowhere near it. Hands up if someone who lives on your street doesn't know Jesus. Then we ain't done. God ain't done and you ain't done. I struggle to believe that some people who didn't lift up their hand that no one's, what do you live in, like a gated Christian community or something? You can't move in here unless you know Jesus. Get out, devil worshippers. Like what? No, come on. Who lives in a street where somebody doesn't know Jesus? Hands up. That's right. You ain't done. You ain't done, church. Every person can worship Jesus in here. Married people, single people, who want to stay single, single people who want to find their match. Come on now. Children, no children, different wealth levels. Everybody can worship Jesus in here. Different political parties. Hey, did you know, if you're nude, it's going to freak you out. Excuse me. Did you know that Democrats, Republicans, and independents can worship the same God? I'm going to tell you something else. Did you know, right, if you're new, like if you've been here for a while, you know this. But if you're new, this is going to freak you out. You're going to be like, what? I didn't know the Bible said that. Did you know that you can be a Christian Democrat and a Christian Republican and a Christian Independent? It's fascinating, isn't it? In this place, we worship the same God together. In here, we have all the different political mindsets and all the different wealth levels and all the different jobs and all the different backgrounds worshiping the same God, united in one glorious vision to see the wonder and the power of God save the lost, transform lives, and give incredible purpose to all who step foot in the house of God. Amen. And so as Paul said, we press forward. He's not done, and we're not going to stop pressing on. And I've shared this story many times here, about once a year. And I want to share it with you. For those of you who are new, and for those who've heard this story before, there's another level that God gave me this year. When I got off the plane in January 2011, I was just visiting. I had no concept that I would be moving here. I thought I was coming to do something else, to visit. And I got off the plane January 2011 on a trip. And when I got on the plane in Australia, it was 120-something degrees. And that's delightful. Like if I could click my fingers right now. You know what temp it'd be tomorrow, Nath? It'd be 126. I'd be on a motorbike. And I'd be out there and the sun would be baking my skin. My favorite temperature is when it feels like you are being cooked from the outside in. When you crack an egg on your arm and it goes, tsa. Little chicken runs away and says, crack me in an oven. That's my favorite temperature. And I got on the plane, it was 120 something degrees. When I got off the plane in Iowa, it wasn't. It was minus 20 something degrees. And I was wearing a tank top. Because that's what Aussies do. I had shorts on. And thongs. Let you think on that for a minute. Or as you incorrectly call them, flip-flops. You know the rest of the world calls them thongs, right? They're not flip-flops. Like, that sounds like something a two-year-old would say. Where's my things that flip and flop? I was freezing. See, I'd seen snow and cold before because I grew up going snowing here. I used to snow. I grew up going snowboarding and skiing. I loved it. I'd go a few times every year. And in fact, every year I went on the school snow camp. And that's when you spend about 5 or 6 days just skiing and snowboarding, getting lessons. And I loved it. It was fantastic. And so I understood cold, or so I thought I did anyway. And I'd go and it'd be, 31 degrees or 30 degrees, because like that's cold and that's freezing. Below 32 is freezing. So for snow, you only need to go that low. I don't know why y'all make it go so much lower here. You can get snow at 30, right? And so I got there. There's snow, and admittedly we had snow machines as well to top it up, because it's Australia and it only snowed on the highest mountains in the country. And but I'll be there and I'll be skiing, and 15 minutes in I'm taking my jacket off because I was hot and sweaty. That's what I thought cold was. I didn't know there were levels of cold. See, I thought there was hot, cold, and because I'm a Christian, lukewarm. I've read my Bible, so I knew there was a temperature in the middle. That's all I thought there was. There's like below freezing, and I didn't know that below freezing could be worse than below freezing. Freezing's freezing, and freezing's freezing. I got off the plane. We discovered that there's a thing called, what bunch of psychopaths built a city here, cold. Like, I found a whole new level. But what's funny is, when I got off that airplane, I got hit in the face with the coldest brick of air that the world has ever known. And at the same time, I felt like I was home. I felt like I just came home. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me the clearest that he had ever spoken to me in my life, and the clearest he has ever spoken to me in my life since. Welcome home, Jesse. And I immediately fell in love with this country. God supernaturally put a love for all of you in my heart immediately. As I walked around Des Moines, I was in love with every person I saw. As I drove around, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was amazing what God had done here, who God had created here. And as I left to go back to Australia, I got homesick on the plane, not for Australia, but for the USA. I got back to my wife and my two boys, a two-year-old Judah and an eight-week-old Eli, and in Wodonga, and I didn't feel at home there anymore. Touch your neighbor, say Wodonga. I know it sounds like a made-up place in Neverland, but it's a real place. I'm from Wodonga, and I've been in Wodonga for a long time, and Wodonga didn't feel like home anymore. How does that happen? I told my wife about my experience. God messed up our hearts. And ever since, I've loved the United States. I've loved this country, the people, the land, the good, the bad, the pretty, the ugly. I've loved everything about it. If there's people here that you hate, I probably love them. If there's people here ashamed, I probably am desperate to help you rid yourself of that shame and find hope. Like, I fell in love with this place. God gave me a passion that I didn't even know you could have a passion like that, so deep and so strong. But then this year, God took it further. Blew my mind. See, my family, the Newman family, had a family reunion earlier this year. I couldn't make it, unfortunately. 16 hours on an airplane, nah. And now, my family's tight. Like, they're tight. Like, tight. My family's tight. Like, they all know each other. Everybody knows who's been arrested, when they got arrested, who arrested them, and why they got arrested. Like, we know everything about everyone in our families. Y'all are freaking out about my family right now. You're like, if that's the first thing you think about with your family is who got arrested and where, what is wrong with your family? And we're crazy, but seriously, but all the cousins, all the relatives, we know everybody in the family, but we'd never had anything to do with grandpa's parents. See, at the reunion, it was about grandpa's parents' descendants. We only knew grandpa's descendants. My dad was one of five kids, four girls and one boy, and there was another boy who passed away at two. He was dropped, and so that was very sad. But my dad was the only one with a Newman name. So in my life, the only Newmans I've ever met were my brothers and sisters. I didn't know that Newmans could be related to me. And then we went a step higher at this reunion, and it was Grandpa's father's descendants. And about 8 weeks ago, they shared with me a story and sent me an email. See, they did some research on the Newman family history. Where are we from? What's the earliest Newmans we can find? And so a few weeks back, it was finally shared with me that the earliest Newmans that we know of are actually from here, from the United States. I believe it was my grandfather's grandfather who was born in New York City in the 1860s. So I either fought, my descendants either fought with yous or against yous, but we fought, all right, 100-something years ago. But what made this amazing for me is I'm like, when I got here, I felt like I came home. I'm like, man, God, because in the spiritual, God can tie things in with the natural too, amen. And when I felt here, I felt like I got home. And I've shared that hundreds of times with people. And then 8 weeks ago to find out that there's another level blew my mind, because what it made me realize is that God set this up 150 years ago. That in the 1800s, God thought to himself, in 150 years, I want to build a different kind of church in Iowa. Not better, not worse, just different. Going to reach thousands of people, a broad number and a broad type of people. But to do it, I'm going to send this Newman family on a world trip to the craziest, most dangerous land on earth, Australia. If they survive that, then I'm going to bring them back to the United States to plant a church in the Midwest that's going to do extraordinary things, but they're going to have a different way of thinking, a different way of doing things. They're not going to be tied to cultural understandings of the Word of God that's going to be based on the Word of God. They're going to understand it differently. And to do that, he brought us back. So when I got off that airplane, God said, "Welcome home, because this is what I was designed for." We literally return to the place that God brought us from, and he does that in Scripture all the time. I'm going to take this family, I'm going to take him over here, then I'm going to bring him back to the promised land, or I'm going to take him over here and move him over there. And it's amazing to note that God did that to us. What's amazing is, while I'm over there minding my own business, God had another incredible man of God sitting over here building the most amazing church planting team the world has ever seen. Before I even knew what God was calling me to do, somebody else was making a team for me. We even share the same birthday. And we're both hyperactive. And psycho. God had you here in his mind 150 years ago. Did you know that? Listen to that. God had you here in his mind over 150 years ago. So what may seem like fast growth and brand new right now is really stepping into a spiritual inheritance that's been waiting for us for 150 years. All of us, all of this was in his plans. It's not just me and Lauren, like we're the special family that God was planting. No, we were all uniquely called and qualified and placed by God to do his work. And I'm going to preach more on that next weekend, that we all have a place here. But this was his plan. And I say that to say this: you're not a mistake. You're not an error in his plans. God has a plan for you. You're a part of his handiwork. And the reason it says welcome home on our church, on some of our t-shirts, on our doors, on our back wall here, is because when people walk in the doors of our church, I want them to feel what I felt when I got off that airplane. This is home. I finally found where I belong. I finally realize what God's plans are for my life. I finally found out that I'm acceptable to God in my current condition. People tell me all the time that that's been their experience. Has that been your experience here? Has that been your experience here? Like you walk in the door and you're like, it feels like home, but I've never been here before. And every week at Eternity Church, we celebrate the wonder of God That's what we do here. We celebrate the wonder of God. We inspire people with stories of God's greatness. And we encourage people to grow stronger, more passionate in their friendship with Jesus. We remind people about the goodness of God when the situations of this earth have helped them to forget. And as we continue to love people without trying to fix them, right? We want to love people without trying to fix them. If you're new here today, we don't love you with the hope that you let us fix you. We just love you. We're just glad that you're here. And the more we just love people into a place where perhaps God could heal them, the more people find themselves healed and made whole in the house of God. And the quicker we will run out of space again. We have done our best to use every square inch of this building. Like, we've got rows closer than we wanted up here, but we made a space over there for people to get prayer and prayer room. And the kids' rooms are busting at the seams. And you know, and we just did the bottom kids' rooms, and we're hoping to get 2 years out of that. But I want to encourage you that our vision is not a destination. It's not a landing point. It's a culture that will never be over until Christ comes back or we find ourselves in heaven with Him. But we ain't dead and He ain't done. We're never going to stop winning the lost, loving the broken, encouraging the saints to grow stronger and spend time in the presence of God, worshiping God. We have great plans to make sure that we're never held back by a tiny vision or small buildings. We're always a few steps in front. God's always just downloading great vision on our hearts. And God has given me the next 4 or 5 steps, and I've shared some of them with people. And actually, I want to show you one of them today. One of them is we're going to build something out there. You know, when the students don't fit in there anymore, we can build a student wing on that side again. And isn't it great that we have a passion for kids? Right? Just a passion for youth and kids and giving them every tool they need to win more of their friends to the Lord. And that's fantastic. And God's been good there. And by the way, make sure you're in every service in Big November to find out some cool things we're going to do in the schools this year. But also, we're growing in here. And I was hoping to get 18 months to two, oh, sorry, not 18 months, sorry, about 6 to 12 months before we had to open the curtain. But it feels like we're going to have to open that and use that back spot there, that brand new extra 200 seats this fall and in the spring. And so when I think that this next step I'm going to show you in a minute, it's going to be out there. When I show that to you, I used to think that was going to be about 5 to 7 years away. Now I'm like, God, you seem to speed up everything I do, and maybe this will be 2 to 3 years, maybe 5 years, I don't know. But who wants to see what we had the architects draw for us? Let's whack that up on the screen. And so we had them draw something. I had a sort of picture in my head, and I said, yo, draw this. And so they drew that, and it's exactly what I pictured in my head, so I thank God for that. And that's fantastic. What we've got here, that's going to be a massive auditorium out to the east wall. So out there, and that's the next thing. And I'm showing you that, not so you can all be like, yay, building, but so that you know that we will not stop making space for the people you're bringing to meet Jesus in this place. We won't stop. We're building, building, building. We're kingdom builders, amen? And so that'll pop out the front, and evidently that's how you join two buildings together. With trees and glass and things. We've not arrived. We're not done. Your neighbors need Jesus, and we're going to make space for them. We'll never, 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 never stop being kingdom builders. We're never going to become the church that is the kingdom cleaners, maintaining it. We're going to be building, 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 building. And so real quick, because I'm going to go over time, and it's super rude to walk out in the middle of a sermon, so I know you'll stick around. I want to share 5 core things that we need every committed person in our church to continue doing if we're able to stay on this beautiful journey that God's got us on. We've talked about these many times. We do it about 5 times a year. We'll say these words. And I want to tell you again right now, they are pray, serve, give, invite, and dine. We'll start with prayer. Don't stop praying for your church. Lauren and I need your prayers. Your leadership needs your prayers. Your connect group leaders need your prayers. Your friends need your prayers. The devil wants to take us out, and we need you praying for us, backing us up, and blessing us with your prayers. Amen. In our church, we banned the words about 5 years ago. I'll pray for you. Yeah, I got this going on in my marriage. It's really tough. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Peace. And then people sometimes forget to pray. We don't say, I'll pray for you. We say, stand up, let's pray. And we pray for them. I've prayed for people in Homemakers, Biagi's, the mall, by the fireplace, St. Kilda Cafe, downtown this week. I'm sitting there and there's a couple telling me about how they had a baby this week and their little baby is in hospital, their first baby together, and their baby's in hospital in the NICU because things didn't happen right. And they're like, you know, would you pray? I'm like, I'll pray. Let's pray right now. So stand up. So we stand up. I lay hands on them. Right there, I don't care who sees me praying. Nobody's going to freak out that guy's praying, get him out of here. They're probably sitting there thinking, please pray for me. I'll pray for you. Let's pray right now. Amen. Let's pray right now. Keep praying for us. Serve. Keep serving. We have an amazing servant culture at Eternity Church, and Jesus loves a humble servant leader. Go do E101 in 2 weeks on Sunday morning in the 9 o'clock service and find your place to serve and learn about the history and the mission of our church, and then give. You know, we're hiring 4 more staff over the next 6 months. We need you to be generous so we can be generous. Scripture says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. God knows the way we work on earth, and oftentimes our heart follows our money. Let me show you what I mean. Hands up if you own Apple shares in this room, shares in the company Apple. Don't be embarrassed. If you're blessed, God bless you, all right? You got Apple shares. Now keep your hand up if you care about the price of those shares now. Yeah, because you own Apple shares. You care about the price of those shares. No one else cares about the price of Apple shares. They care because they put their treasure there, and now their heart has followed their treasure, and now they care. If you want your heart to get tied in, locked in, bolted in to the heart, the mission, the vision of Eternity Church, put your treasure there. We got to pay for this renovation. We had a deposit, but we still have to borrow as well. And we want to continue to pay the loan down and set ourselves up to be able to build what God calls us to build in the future without sacrificing the mission today. Amen. More on that in a few weeks. Go to myeternity.com and watch the fruit and veg sermon series if you want to hear our heart on finance and what we believe God wants to do in your life. And the next one is invite. Invite, invite, invite. Now, I'm not going to make you put your hands up again, but y'all said you had a neighbor. Bring them to church. And if they won't come, tell them you'll give them $100 if they come. Right? Oh, you can't bribe people. I bribe people all the time. Jesus, how many people come to Jesus and they were like, Jesus, I want to have a loving relationship with you as Lord and Savior. No, I want a healing. I want something from you. I'm hungry. I want some tucker. It's Australian for food. I want some food. I want this. I want that. They came for something else, and God gave them a side order at a Holy Ghost and salvation to boot. Amen. Bring people to church. Tell them they'll get a free t-shirt. Tell them they'll get a free espresso. Tell them that it will change their life forever. Amen. I tell people all the time that our church is like crack. One hit and you'll be hooked for life. I say that to my neighbors all the time. They say, I'll come once. I'm like, I only need you to come once because you'll get addicted and you'll come back next week and next week and next week and next week. You allowed to say that in church? Oh, no, I did anyway. Bring your friends to church. Bring your neighbors to church. The last one is dine as the band comes back up. We value community here. We value community. The best way to get to know someone is over a meal or a coffee. Jesus used food to love people all the time. He had dinner with sinners like Zacchaeus. He met a woman at a well for water. Last Supper, you heard of that? Last Supper. Hanging out over a meal, talking about the goodness of God. You know what? If Jesus came now instead of then, you know what the Last Supper would look like? It would read like this. And while they were sitting at Chick-fil-A, Jesus handed the disciples some nuggets and said, "Break this, eat this in remembrance of me." And when they had done with the nuggets, Jesus handed them a frosty lemonade and said, "This is my yellow blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Why yellow blood? Because he's an alien from Planet Worship. And that was a song in Australia. Now we do the little cups in church all the time. We take a moment to drink the grape juice, or if you get one of the ones that's been there for a couple of years, the wine, the cracker, and we drink that, and we take a moment to stop and thank God. And that's fantastic in church. That's great. We do that once a month, every month. But he wanted more than that from us. The scripture said, and while they were eating, they didn't go there for communion. They went there to eat together. I want to encourage you as a church that we value this. We value community. And if you're new here, if you ring this church, none of our staff will ever say no to lunch or coffee with you. None, ever. And if you've been attending here for a while, we want you to find people, invite them to your house, get to know them. And while you do that, talk about Jesus in remembrance of him. That's communion. Everyone is welcome here. This is one place in our community where you're here and you're welcome. You'll be inspired and encouraged every week, no matter what. We're not trying to fix you or change your mind. We're not trying to fix people. Come on. We're called to go fishing, not fixing. We fish, he fixes. If someone's stuck in some sin or hurt that hurts them, we want to create the opportunity for them to know Jesus better so he can speak to them and help them overcome. Would you stand up with me, church? Do you believe life is better when you're friends with Jesus? I want to read you a passage of scripture from Isaiah that was written about Jesus. But it's also the heart of our church because we want to be like him. Amen. And so I'm going to read it from our perspective, talking about what God has called us to do. Okay? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And sorry, you can close your eyes, you can lift your hands, but I just want you to receive this great message right now. This is the heart of Jesus and the heart he's given our church. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us because he's anointed us to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called, oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord for the display of his splendor. We will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore places long devastated. Church, there are families that have been devastated for generation after generation after generation. But we will renew ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd our flocks and foreigners will work our fields and vineyards. We'll be called priests of the Lord. We'll be named ministers of God. We'll feed on the wealth of nations and their riches we'll be able to boast. Instead of shame, we'll receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, we'll rejoice in our inheritance. And so we will inherit a double portion in the land and everlasting joy will be ours. That is what we do. Welcome home. I love you. God is good.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.